Welcome back to our Nach Yomi series on Sefer Yirmiyo. In today's shiur, we're studying Perek Mem Zayin, Chapter 47. Chapter 47 is yet another nevuah about the other nations. This time, it'll be directed to the Plishtim, but as we mentioned in our shiur yesterday, even though Yirmiyo is talking about the other nations, the primary audience of these nevuot will be the people of Israel, and as we complete our shiur today, we'll try to understand what meaning this has to the people living in Yehuda at this time. Pasuk Aleph, Asher haya dvar Adonai el Yirmiyahu hanavi, el plishtim, b'terem yakeh paro et azah. This was the word of God to Yirmiyahu concerning the plishtim, before Paro had defeated the city of Azah. The opening line here gives us a general idea of when this nevuah was given, but we don't have the exact year like we had in the beginning of Perek Mem Vav. So let's first try to understand when this might have happened. The city of Azah is one of the five cities of the plishtim, which we are familiar with from Nevim Rishonim. We have Azah, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Ekron, and Gat, and the cities along the coast itself are Azah, Ashkelon, and Ashdod. Azah was usually considered the main city of the Plishtim. And since the time of the Shoftim, the Plishtim were always an arch enemy of Israel. They were people that invaded from the island of Crete and began to settle along the coastal plain of Israel. When they were strong, they not only settled the coastal plain, they took over also the Shvelah, like when David fights Goliath. It's in the Shvelah near the area of Beit Shemesh. And there were even times like in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, when Shaul becomes king, that the Plishtim had even infiltrated into the mountain range, into the Nachla Binyamin. We also find them in Emek Yisrael when Shaul fights the Plishtim in the Gilboa. In contrast to the other enemies of Israel, who are neighbors surrounding us, it was the Plishtim and Israel that were usually fighting over the same land. The Plishtim always coming from the coast, we were coming from the mountain range, and the battles always took place somewhere in between. When Israel was strong during the time of the First Temple period, like during the time of David and Shlomo, and the time of Yehoshaphat, and the time of Uzziel, the Plishtim were pretty much under our control. But during the other times during the First Temple period, the Plishtim were rather independent. Sometimes they had treaties with Egypt, and as we'll see soon, most often they had treaties with the area of Tzor and Sidon, as they shared a common culture, and they also shared a political and military alliance. Now in the opening line, it says that this prophecy was given before Paro, who represents Egypt, had attacked Azah. As we discussed in yesterday's shir, the main march of the Egyptians up north was between 609 and 605 BCE. In 609 BCE, on their way up to meet the Babylonians in Carchemish, that's when they engaged Yoshiel in Megiddo, and that's when Yoshiel was killed. Several years later, in 605 BCE, which was the fourth year of Jehoiakim, they were finally defeated by the Babylonians in Carchemish. Afterwards, the Egyptians retreated. It's with that setting that we find all the politics that Sefer Yirmiyo deals with at length, where the other nations of the Middle East, especially Tzor and Sidon and Ammon and Moab and Edom, together with Yehuda, are planning to put up a common front against any further Babylonian expanse from Carchemish or from the Prat or down towards the land of Canaan. And the country that they're putting their hopes on that will come and support them will be Egypt. It's because of that background that these nevuot of Yirmiyo are so important. As we saw in yesterday's shir, he explains how the mighty army of Egypt is going to be desolated by the Babylonians, first in Carchemish, and later on in Egypt itself. When Am Yisrael hears these nevuot, Yirmiyahu is hoping that this will cause them to make that important decision to agree to subjugate themselves to Babel and not join this coalition against Babel, and definitely not to fight them. Of course, we saw that they didn't listen, but at least we can understand what was the purpose of these nevuot when they were first given. So let's go back now to the first pasuk and figure out when this is happening. It says, before Paro defeated Azah. From outside sources, we really never find any record of the Egyptians attacking Azah during this time period. In fact, it's the opposite. We find the Babylonians taking over Azah, and that's what the rest of the parable will talk about. The assumption was in Israel that Paro and the Egyptians would take over Azah on their march up north to Carchemish. Yirmiyahu is coming to say, don't think the Egyptians are going to take over Azah. Exactly the opposite. The Egyptians are going to fail, and it will be the Babylonians who are going to take over Azah. Again, this would be a reason to Yehuda to accept the Babylonians and not accept the Egyptians. So let's see how that's going to play itself out in the next several psukim. Pasuk bet. Kol amar Adonai, hine maim olim mitzafon, vayu lenachal shotef, vayishtefu eretz umloa, ir v'yoshveva. God's saying, there's mighty waters coming from the north. Waters from the north is clearly referring to Babel, the Euphrates River, which is Nahar Prat, which is the center of Mesopotamia, where the Babylonians are coming from. Their conquest of Mesopotamia is going to continue towards the south, towards Egypt. And here, the Navi is describing that like a Nachal Shotef, like an overflowing river that's going to wash out everything around it. And therefore, these mighty waters coming from the north, referring to the Bavlim, are going to be like an overflowing river, which are going to wash out the entire land, all the cities and their inhabitants. V'zaku ha'adam, V'helil ko yoshvei ha'aretz. All the men in these cities that are going to be washed out and taken over by the Babylonians, those men are going to cry out, and the inhabitants of that land are going to wail. What are they going to be scared from? Mikol shatat parsot avirav. From the clatter of the stamping hoofs of their horses. A parsa is a type of a horseshoe. The abirim, or the mighty ones, here it seems to be talking about the mighty soldiers coming with their horses. So mikol shatat parsot avirav, from the clattering sounds of the hoofs of its horses, mirash l'richbo, from the mighty sounds of the chariots, hamon galgilav, hearing the noise of its wheels turning around as they charge, lo hifnu avot abanim mirifyon yadayim. The fathers didn't even have time to go take care of their children from their helplessness. Rifyon yadayim is a feeling when there's nothing you can do. You hear this massive army of the Babylonians coming. You're so scared and so worried, you don't know what to do. And the fathers don't even have time to go take care of their children. The destruction is so quick and imminent. Pasuk Dalet. Al hayom haba lishdot et kol plishtim. This is talking about the day when the Babylonians are going to come and ravage the entire land of the plishtim. Lachrit letzor uletzidon kol serit ozer. This will cut off from Tzor and Sidon the remainder of any ally. As we mentioned before, the Plishtim were often a loyal ally to Tzor and Sidon, both culturally and militarily. And now that the Babylonians are going to wipe out the area of the Plishtim, no longer would Tzor and Sidon have an ally to come and help them. Kishodein Adonai Plishtim, because God is ravaging the land of the Plishtim, Sherit Ikaftor, the remnant of those who came from the island of Crete, as Amos the Navi mentioned in his opening Pasuk, Halot b'nei Yisrael leiti meretz Mitzrayim, v'aram mikir, u'plishtim mikaftor, that the original invasion of the Plishtim were from a people coming from the island of Crete. Pasuk Hey, ba korcha elaza, nidmata ashkelon sherit imkam, admatai titgudadi. This pasuk will describe the intensity of the destruction of this area, but before we read it, we have to go back to a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, which this pasuk is based on. In chapter 14, in Perek Yudalad, in its opening pasuk, we're told, banim atem l'ashem elokechem, Am Yisrael are like children to God. Then it says, Lo tit godudu, v'lo tasimu korcha bein enechem lemet. Don't scratch yourselves or cut your heads when someone dies. That's lo tit godudu. And don't cut your hair or make yourself bald when someone dies. Those are the words that Yirmiyahu is going to use now to describe the sorrow of the people in the land of the Plishtim. Therefore, ba'a korcha al azah. Korcha, this baldness, is coming on azah as a sign of mourning. Didmeta ashkelon sherit imkam. The city of Ashkelon, the remnant of this Emek. Emek can either mean the valley. If it's a valley, it's probably what's called Nachal Absor, which is a major valley which goes through the land of the Plishtim. Or Imkam might be their strength, some commentators say. Ad matay tidgudadi, how long are you going to continue to show these signs of mourning? A rhetorical way of asking how much mourning can happen because of all this destruction. And now, the Navi is going to continue and ask a question, how come the sword of God continues to hit the Plishtim over and over again? Pasuk Vav, Hoy cherev l'Adonai, woe, the sword of God. Ad ana lo tishkoti. How long is it going to take until you quiet down? Heyasvi el ta'arech. Why don't you put yourself back into your sheath? Heragi fidomi. Quiet down and be still. This is a call to the sword of God. This is a cry out to the sword of God. Why don't you take a rest already? Put yourself back in your holder. To this question, the Navi's going to answer back now. Ech tishkoti. How can the sword of God be quiet? Ba'adonai tzivala. God commanded it to go out and kill. El Ashkelon ve'chof hayam sham ya'ada. The sword of God is going to the city of Ashkelon and the coastal plain. There is its assignment. That's the place it's supposed to go to. And the sword of God will not be quiet until it finishes its job. That's the end of the parak. And again, we see how Yirmiyahu is predicting the success of the Babylonians against the area of Azan Ashkelon in the land of the Plishtim. In a warring time, Yisrael, how successful the Babylonians will be. Another reason for Yehuda to give in to the Babylonians and accept their sovereignty.